Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
October 11th, 1975. What happened?
I don't know the answer, so I can't play.
Yeah, you already know. It was this. The very first Saturday Night Live broadcast. October 11th, 1975. The show now celebrating its 50th season, and there's a new movie out today about the hours and minutes leading up to that very first broadcast. The cultural relevance of the show has ebbed and flowed over the years. The comedy, you could argue, has ebbed and flowed over the years. But through it all, the show has been that one sketch show that has lasted all of this time. Why? Why this show and not some of the others that have ever been out there? Joining us now on Wisconsin's Morning News is Dr. Nick Marks, a Milwaukee native, now the Associate Professor of Film and Media Studies at Colorado State University. He's also the Director of Undergrad Studies. He's also an author. He also does many other things. Dr. Marks now joins us. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
So the first question being, what has been the reason, in your opinion, for the lasting opportunities of the show? Why has it lasted so long?
Well, as you mentioned, the show is starting its 50th season, and it came out of the gates in 1975 with a brand of youthful, edgy energy that appealed to baby boomer audiences who wanted something different from their parents' generation of comedy. It's managed to kind of keep some of that cool, youthful energy over those last 50 years. And even today, in its diminished state, and even after all the complaints about it being irrelevant, it still manages to attract eyeballs. It still is relevant with its updated casts, its music hosts, and especially the politicians who you never know when they're going to stop by during election seasons.
I think, you know, Dr. Marks, one thing that I see as it evolves is Saturday Night Live, for even when it was white hot, you know, when I was watching it and it was can't miss, it still would miss on a lot of sketches, right? If you watch the whole hour and a half. What's happened in the digital world now is we can kind of just sort of scroll through and know what hits and just play the hits from every week.
Get the best stuff.
It's a great point. Rise of the internet and social media was a huge fear for a lot of TV shows, and especially ones like SNL who are broadcast live. But what I think you're pointing to is the fact that audiences can kind of pick and choose what they sample from the show and form their own opinion based on sort of what they like, right? They don't have to sit up and watch the whole 90-minute broadcast every Saturday night, and indeed fewer and fewer people are doing that. But really the positive energy the show thrives off of are those two or three viral clips that circulate on social media in the week following every Saturday night.
I've heard in the past that Lorne Michaels isn't necessarily the nicest guy and kind of lords over some of the actors, and it can be, I don't want to say toxic, but it can be stressful and there's a lot of pressure. Do you need that? Does it have to be led that way in order to be successful?
I don't think so. I think every long-running media institution with a famous boss like that has some aspect of being a tyrant, right? He's pretty famously mean. He doesn't laugh during cast members' auditions. But I also think he's doing something right to sort of steer the show for as long as he has done it. There are rumors, of course, that he's going to retire after this upcoming 50th season. As soon as those began to pick up steam, he pretty subtly started to push back. It sounds like he's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. And I think that just speaks to the extent to which so many people and creatives in the industry associate him and just him with that show.
The book was called Saturday Night Live on American TV. Dr. Nick Marks is one of the editors. He's an associate professor of film and media studies at Colorado State University, Milwaukee native. Talking with him this morning about the 50th season of Saturday Night Live. You called the book refers to Saturday Night Live as a cultural institution. And I wonder if part of that is also because of the careers that it has launched. I started putting together just a list, Dr. Marks, and it would take too long for me to name all of the names of people who are part of, you know, Hollywood now or television in other ways who got their start on SNL.
Yeah, even stretching back to the very first season, if you remember, was Chevy Chase's breakout and his only season. And he left after that first season to go do movies. Ever since then, the show has kind of had a reputation as a graduate school of comedy, a place where you'd go and, you know, really finely tune your skills before you moved on to bigger and better things. And those bigger and better things were what you just referred to. It's the more high-profile, higher-paying gigs of mainstream movies. And indeed, we've got countless examples over the years, right? Chris Farley and Mike Myers and Adam Sandler and on. These people carry the sort of sketch comedy sensibility with them into those movie roles, right? They have that kind of punchy, fun, short-form sensibility to them, even in their careers beyond SNL.
I think, too, of the platform that it's been for female comics. You talk about Amy Poehler, right? Gilda Radner in its early days, right? Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I don't think she did a long stint there. I think she did some writing and things like that. Tina Fey, my goodness. I mean, to see female comics in those roles and then also be a platform for them to launch into the other things you just mentioned.
Absolutely. The show, even from its earliest days, as you mentioned, Gilda Radner and others, has been a strong platform for women comics. It's not always had the best reputation for treating them equally and giving them equal screen time. But certainly in the last 10, 15 years, if you think of folks like you mentioned, both Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, Kristen Wiig and others have also gone on to pretty good mainstream success, including in things like other television shows and streaming, now that those are alternatives to the sort of mainstream movie scene.
Nick Marks joins us. He's associate professor from Colorado State University, also an author, also a Milwaukee native, we're told. So what about, does television ever filter out the comedy? And what I mean by that, I've been to Second City before a couple of times, and when you're in that scene, when you're in the studio, it can be really funny. There's a fun vibe. Everyone's just feeling it. But does that ever get filtered out when you're watching it on TV, where something just doesn't seem to resonate the same way or translate the same way?
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of cuts both ways with SNL. On the one hand, you're absolutely right. When you're making a show for broadcast television, you have to play it safe. You can't swear. You can't have nudity, right? These things have to be safe and broadly appealing for anybody to be able to watch. But on the other hand, SNL is one of the few live shows, right? It is performed at the same time that you're watching it at home, just like a Packers game. And that is one of the few remaining, you know, scripted TV shows that's still doing that. So there's always a sense of danger there. Anything could happen. Somebody could slip up and swear, or somebody could enter the studio and make a ruckus. So the fact that it persists as a live entertainment show when so few TV shows are embracing that format, I think really does, you know, maintain that sense of anything could happen.
You know, one thing that I love when it is hitting, when the writing is good, is the political stuff. And I think it's a lot of the reason that people flock to SNL. We want to laugh about our politics. I will say this, though. They're at their weakest when it appears one-sided, and they're at their weakest when it's not funny. And what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, making fun of someone is funny. I like most when you make fun of my political views, but it's kind of funny. But sometimes, like, it got to a point maybe a year or two ago where it was like, this is kind of just mean. It's not really funny. I'm not laughing. And it's a kind of a fine line, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're identifying what I think is the main legitimate critique of the show over the last 15, 20 years. And it's that political humor can be kind of pandering. It's here's what happened in the news this week, and we're going to trot out a famous person to impersonate President Trump or whoever happened to be in the news. And it's not always centered around a joke. It's centered around the audience identifying, there's that person, I either really like them or I really don't like them. And it's kind of gotten away from the idea that these are people who are involved in, you know, real life scenarios that create humor. There's a lot of eyeballs and money to be made in creating that type of political humor. So it's something that SNL has kind of chased in recent years, but I tend to agree that its political comedy is very much hit and miss.
Crystal Ball, Nick, is SNL stay in some fashion even after Lorne Michaels?
Absolutely. I just think that the big tent gathering places where young and old and left and right can get together and still watch TV, those are so few and far between these days that I think NBC would be foolish to get rid of it after Michael's departure. As about the fact that there's a pretty clear line of succession after him, the two names being bandied about, Seth Meyers and Tina Fey, both sat at the Weekend Update desk. They both have had their own extremely successful post-SNL careers, and they both have not so subtly hinted that they'd be open to taking over that position, if not outright, wanting to take it over.
Dr. Nick Marks, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Nicky, Colorado State University professor of film and media studies, also an author of several books on sketch comedy.
Just the names, though. I was like just making a list. Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, Jason Sudeikis. What about him? Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
What about him?
Yep.
Seth Meyers. I'd forgotten about Seth. Like, just go on, and then you go way back. Eddie Murphy, Aykroyd, Chase. I mean,
oh,
so many.
Endless.
Right?
It's endless.
What time is it on? 10:30, Saturday night. 8:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News.